What's up, everybody? Welcome to Neighborly Discourse with Billy and Steve. I'm Billy.
And I'm Steve.
What's up, buddy?
What's up, dude?
Not much. Another day in paradise.
Chew that. I got so much to get into, but I think you want something to say.
We're gonna introduce a new segment called Clarification from Last Episode.
Oh my goodness, I have something to clarify too.
Okay, well you start then. You can go.
Hold on a second. Listen, so this is one thing I want to clarify. You said something, we were talking about a mutual friend of ours who was dealing with something that he suffered from years ago in the military, right? And you said 40 years, he's been trying to get this taken care of 40 years. It hasn't been 40 years he's been trying to take care of. It's been in the last 10 years that the military informed him that he could be suffering from something that happened 40 years ago.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, because I only did as far as Vietnam was, you know, the 70s, right. We're 2020, 21, right. So I figure it's got to be that long. But that makes sense.
The thing is that he probably got hurt then.
Yeah.
They just figured it out within the last decade. And this is the thing. In the last 10 years, so the military contacted him to say, hey, you might be suffering from this. So we need to get you in here, run some tests, yada, yada, yada.
He's not been there.
In 10 years.
They've keep pushing him to the side.
And he's the one that's been contacting them once a year. He's got it on his calendar. I'm going to contact them. I'm going to say, hey, what's going on? And they keep saying, look, we got thousands of people before you.
And then to clarify, they didn't give him 6 months to get COVID. They gave him 6 weeks.
Right.
For 10 years, he's been hunting them down to get in, to get his treatment or compensation or find out really what's going on. And every 6 months to a year, he calls, listen, we're working on it.
There's thousands of people. There's a backlog.
Yeah, thousands of them. But here it is now, COVID hits, and you've got 6 weeks to get this done, get the card, send it to us, or you lose your benefits. Like, that's crazy to
me. That is crazy. This dude could be suffering from something that can kill him. They know about it. It's so interesting how long they can drag out taking care of it. They're probably hoping that he would die before.
Most likely,
But how long they can drag it out. But yet, when it comes to this vaccine thing, it's get it now or lose your benefits.
Yeah.
So that's one clarity. The second thing is that you had said something about, I made a statement about someone who's important. And you said something like...
Tony Dungy.
Well, no. Forget about Tony Dungy. You were talking about... There are people who are more important.
Oh, about a kid, yeah.
What do you remember how you said it?
Yeah, a kid was he got fouled or fouled somebody in the game.
Right.
The ref had us take him out.
Right.
The kid who fouled him scores 1 point every 6 games. This kid scored 20 points in 10 minutes.
Right.
His value to the team is worth more than the other kid to their team. So I told the kids, listen.
So listen, that I agree with, right?
Yeah.
But there was someplace else where you said some people are more important.
There's some people more important than others.
Okay. So, and I said, you know what? I agree with that. And I want to clarify that.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's one of my things to clarify as well.
Oh,
so,
really?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. So we're on the same page. Now, this is interesting because, again, Billy and I don't talk between these episodes. So it's interesting that we're on the same page. But what I want to clarify is that value to the team and being more important are two different things.
Yes.
That's what you wanted to clarify too? Okay, so I'll let you take it.
Well, as I stated before, I told the kid, you're scoring 20 points. You're more important to this team in this moment. But you can't score those 20 points unless this kid rebounds, this kid passes, this kid hustles. So altogether, it's a team effort. But he's got the ability to score the 20 points. The other kids don't. So he is more important to the team. But as a team member, everybody's equally valuable, if that makes sense.
It makes total sense. And that's where I was. I wanted to make sure that I don't want anyone to take for granted that I think people are better than other people. Like person A is better than person B. That's not the point that I was trying to make.
Can you see me? Okay.
You're cringing because you say you don't care what they think, right?
No.
Oh, okay.
I'm never going to not say that because it is something that I feel, but I want to always clarify. It's not that I care what people think. I won't go out of my way to do something to bother them or be annoying or hurt them. So if they do get offended by something, I won't care that they are because I'm not doing it maliciously. They're just sensitive. But I tell Liam all the time, again, it's clarifying again the humility. I look at humility as a simple don't say anything. In sports, I don't believe it should be there to a certain extent. In life, just don't be a jerk. Don't be rude to someone or call someone out just because you can. It's better to leave things unsaid. That's how I look at humility. But listen, you are better than other people. And other people are better than you. That is okay. So to tell someone, oh, someone's not better than you, that's wrong. Someone is better than you.
Well, see, no, man.
Okay, listen. You know God. I don't. You're better at it than I am. So in religion, right, you're better than me.
Right. So I'm saying.
But when it comes to sports or football, you're not close to my knowledge of football. So I am better than you when it comes to football knowledge. But as far as, like, that's as far as it goes.
Right.
You are better than people in other aspects, and other people are better than you. There's no harm in it. There's no big deal about it.
Right. So, but I think the clarifying statement needs to be better at things, right? Not better as a person, as an overall
person.
Well,
that's a thing,
person.
Though. Well, yeah, you are. People can say you're better at being a person than me because you believe in no way, shape, or form is abortion okay. Me, there's a lot of a lot of gray area. Go from there. People may think, oh, Billy's a bad person. He's okay with killing babies, when that's not the case. But you are 100% against it. You're a better person. I'm not taking offense to that because in that case, in someone else's eyes, you're a better person. And so, it doesn't bother
me. No. Okay. So that's cool. I think I agree with you. So let me clarify what I'm saying.
And I'm sorry to cut you off. That's part of my clarification is I look at things black and white. I do not make the jump to, but that could have been your daughter, but it's not, so I don't care.
Right.
Like, that's how I look at things, very on the surface, black and white, as is. I do not tie things in together with what ifs and maybes.
There's no
I don't do that.
No gradation for you.
No, gradation. I'll engage in a conversation, right, and I'll see your side, but for me, that's how I look at things.
So just to put a button on it for me, from my perspective, I guess what I don't want to get lost in the better than conversation is all men being created equal. And that's the what I want to make clear, that we all are equal. Regardless, under God's eyes, we're all are equal. Now, what we do with that is a different story.
100%.
But we're all created equal. And I think that's what I want to make sure that we're clear on.
No, I agree with you. Everybody has two legs, two eyes, two ears, hands.
Right.
What you do with that is a different story.
Right.
So, yes, your ability, your fortune, your work ethic, luck, it all plays a part.
Excellent.
Okay, and life isn't fair. Very famous quote, one of the greatest quotes I've heard from Caddyshack the movie. The world needs ditch dickers. Okay, life isn't fair. All right, so just to keep that in mind, everybody's got to be equal. No, you have equal opportunity to make it, but it's up to you what to do with that opportunity.
That is so big. So, okay, do you got anything else to clarify?
No, just that, just the humility part as far as. Again, I understand it. I don't need something to be told, hey, be humble. No, I'm just not going to be annoying about it. If I hit three threes in a row, I'm not going to laugh at you. I don't see that as being humble. I just see it as I'm playing a sport. There's no need for any nonsense.
Right.
Okay. In life, I'm not going to, and again, we talked about it. It's the outside people calling the game, talking about stuff that bring in the humility of things.
Right.
I'm not going to apologize or slow down because someone else is not doing well. They're not keeping up. That's not a concern of mine. Case in point, contradicting a little bit of what I said last week, this last team we played.
Right.
It was 35-2 at halftime. We destroyed them.
Are you serious?
Yes. It wasn't even close.
Wow.
And this was another one of the top teams in the league.
What?
Our team is stacked. So, third quarter starts.
Hold on. What's your record?
3-0.
And has it out? I know you told me scores.
The first game was 40-42,
okay.
But they chucked up a couple threes at the end.
Okay.
The last game was 52-36. They chucked up some threes. This game was 50-30-something.
Okay.
And again, so.
Good second half or good last 2 minutes of the game?
Well, no. So, third quarter starts. I pull the kids in and say, listen. This goes against everything I believe in, but stop shooting the threes. We're killing this team. My co-coach, no. You go. You play your game. We're not slowing down for anybody. Fourth quarter, we'll do that. But we've had one practice in three games. We're going out there. We're calling plays, and we're going to practice against this team. And I'm like, man, I agree 100%. Guys, listen to coach. I'm with him. I'm trying to do the head coach diplomatic thing. Two kids knew what diplomatic meant. The other one looked at me like, huh? So I went against
English coach.
Yeah, I went against what I believed in.
Right.
So what we did was not press. So we were getting his kids
your
at
defense.
Halftime.
Okay, so your defense, you slowed your defense
We
down.
Switched from a zone to a man. We took out our 6'3 guy who was stopping everybody. And I'm like, man, these kids paid money. This kid should not be faulted for being 6'3". He should be out there smacking the ball across the court.
Are you guys playing tomorrow?
Sunday.
What time?
After 3 o'clock. I'm not sure if it's 3 or 4. I'm not sure.
And the mask thing?
They say it, but I mean, I've not. I wear it around my neck only because I'm superstitious. I wore it week one. I'm going to wear it if and when we lose.
Right.
But I'm not. I don't wear it.
So you're saying that if I go there, first of all, can I get to the court without a mask on?
Yeah, yeah. Nobody. I mean, people don't even wear them around their necks. I have it just to say, hey,
okay,
look.
I'm coming on Sunday. You have to remind me. I have to see this game.
I will.
Me. Okay.
So I did the. I tried to do the humble thing. All right, guys, listen, we're crushing this team, and let's slow down. You know, but the other coach said, no, our job is to win. I'm like, all right, go.
So listen, you know what this tells me, Billy? Because remember last episode I told you, I don't know if I believe that you believe what you're saying. Like, I didn't say that right. You do believe what you're saying, but I don't know if what you're saying is really what you feel.
There's a time and place.
Okay, so it's situational.
Yes.
Okay, cool. And so just hearing you say right now that you came into the second half wanting to change the tenor a little bit, that speaks a lot. I'm glad you're clarifying it this time around to say, well, it's not exactly, it's not black and white. There is some gradation.
There are. You know? So again, when we talk about, you know, when I talk with somebody, I go into the conversation with a mindset of there is zero you are going to say to change my mind. You have no shot at penetrating my brain.
Right.
There's nothing you can say.
Okay.
I debate with my head, not with my heart.
Okay.
So once I have that mind frame of you've got no chance, I'm not going to get into a emotional conversation with you.
Right.
The guard comes down and then I'll listen and we'll talk and I'm open to your side of things. So here.
That's that counterintuitive, but interesting.
But you'll never rattle me. I'm never going to cry myself to sleep over a conversation.
Right.
You know, I'm going to listen to what you have to say. Because I am comfortable with what I'm saying. And if at the end of the day, you don't agree with me, I don't agree with you, it's fine. I use just my head. No, not feelings, not friendship, not are we still going to go fishing tomorrow?
Right.
None of that stuff.
Right.
So here, yes, we're going to destroy this team. Now I'm there. I see a kid sad on the sideline. I see the kid's mom upset. This kind of stuff.
Right.
I'll say, you know what, man? There's really no need for this.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And then I'll tell myself, yeah, that's also no need for a three. It's a bad shot. Okay, justification done. Take away the emotion. Smart play, no more threes. And then I'm no longer caring about the kid crying on the sideline.
It's like a defense mechanism.
Kind of, yeah.
That's interesting.
But on face value, I mean what I say and I say what I mean. It doesn't mean it cannot change.
So I'm going to slightly go off subject. First of all, great clarity, and I love this segment. We need to have a name for the segment. We need to have a sound for
the
segment.
The way
too.
Things are going, with, right. Once I edit these and I listen through, and I think to myself, "Oh my God, here we go again."
Right.
It's going to start. Okay, here we go, guys. Billy's week. You know, next episode clarification. Because I'm listening to it, I'm like, "Yeah, Steve said you're going to clarify this." No, I'm not, Steve. I'm clear-minded, and that thought made sense.
Right.
And then we continued to go. Oh man. Okay, I get what you're saying now. So, new segment coming, clarification of previous episodes.
But look, all this is showing that we're human.
Exactly.
Right? It's showing that we're human. And, you know, a few episodes back, you said you don't put your stake on the ground. You know, like your flag on the ground.
Yeah, I don't.
This is proving that.
No, it's true.
This is proving that. So, it's cool. But I want to switch gears so slightly.
We're done with the clarification part of the previous episode.
You're going to need to come up with a sound for clarification, and we need to come up with a cool name for it. But anyway.
We'll get that.
Well, I digress. We said something last episode that I want to bring up again, and I want to spend some time camped out on this.
Okay.
We are not against Democrats.
Nope.
And actually, I think a couple of episodes ago, you had said that we came up with a new name, elitist, so that we can not disenfranchise Democrats or liberals, right? And that's very important because I want you to understand something. We need Democrats. We need conservatives. We need them both for this country to function, for this country to excel and do all that we're supposed to do, we need both sides. Because I got to tell you, as a conservative, we don't always get it right. Sometimes something can be staring us, the right answer can be staring us right in the face, and we don't even see it.
Yeah.
And it takes the other side to be able to say, hey, over here, over here, over here. So we need the other side. And listen, the flip side is just as true. Sometimes the correct answer can be staring a Democrat right in the face, and they don't see it. And so we need to be able to be our own checks and balances. Listen, there are certain conservative views that I have that you'll never have, that you'll never hold true to, and it's gonna grate against you for all times. And that's okay, vice versa. The issue is, or the question is, can we find common ground and govern together?
Yes.
Can we move forward? We need to get rid of the vitriol. We need to get rid of the banter that is the negative banter that causes us to become tribal and like hate each other and go to war with each other. We cannot exist this way. We can't have this kind of division. We cannot agree. We can have separate thoughts, but we can't have a division where we're fighting against each other. And that's where we are right now. We can't be blaming and name calling.
Yeah, because in America, we're all Americans. You know, we're labeled by a party. But if you listen to Steve and I talk, we both usually go Republican, but he's much more conservative than I am. But there's a few things that I lean towards. So to Steve's point, it's not about them. We've said it before. We talk people, not politics. You have to, because it's labeled Democrat, it's labeled Republican, but we talk about the people who do it. It's the elitists of both parties forcing us to do things for whatever reason they have. So we are trying to remove the Democrat and the Republican from the vocabulary, for us anyway, and talk about the people, the Americans, the citizens of America, versus these elitists who are telling us how to live our lives when they shouldn't, because they have no idea about our lives.
Excellent. So there's two things that I want to bring up today that I want us to hash out that hopefully drives this point home in terms of how we are being divided, how the media and even our politicians are trying to divide us. And hopefully this is going to be an engaging conversation. So I'm going to play something for you guys, and I hope this works.
What is it about the vaccine that makes you hesitant to get it?
I would start with, I've had COVID in the past, and so our understanding of antibodies, of natural immunity has changed a great deal from the onset of the pandemic, and is still evolving. I understand that the vaccine would help if you catch COVID, and you'll be able to have less symptoms from contracting it. But with me having COVID in the past and having antibodies, with my current age group and physical fitness level, it's not necessarily a fear of mine.
Okay, so if you want to watch the more extended.
Okay, so that did you? I hope you caught that, Billy. Did you catch everything?
Yeah, I got it. Yeah.
Okay, this person, I think his name is Isaac. I forgot his first name, but he's a basketball player. The NBA has made a decision that if you do not get vaccinated, if there are certain cities that, because like, for example, in California, you can't go into large arenas or large places, venues, without having a passport, a vaccine passport.
Yeah.
And so that means that this particular basketball player who plays for Orlando, if he goes to play, if his team goes to play in L.A., he won't be able to play.
Okay.
And so the NBA basically says, if that happens, you're not going to get paid. So every game that you miss because you're not vaccinated, you're not going to get paid. Okay.
So that's
the argument. So anyway, so they were asking the question around this, like, what's your hesitancy about getting vaccinated?
Well, one, do you think that's okay?
Which part?
Not paying him for not playing.
The knee-jerk reaction is yes. That's my first thing is like, yes.
Well, but you're not doing your job, so you shouldn't get paid. So that's true. That's
right.
I agree with that.
Okay.
But the reason behind it.
The reason behind it.
Is the problem.
Is the problem that I
yes.
have. The underlying reason is the problem that I have. And we can flesh this out in a second.
Yeah.
But what I want to grapple with initially is the fact that they asked him a question. He was very thoughtful with his answer.
Yeah.
Right? He thought it through. And he gave really solid answers. Like, look, this guy is 21, 22 years old.
He had it. He has the antibodies. He had it. It's stronger than...
Well, let's just start with his age group.
Okay, yes.
He's
young and
healthy.
He's
very young. And then the second part, he's very healthy.
Yes.
We already showed you the numbers. Like, he's in the 98 percentile or higher, probably 99% plus of likelihood of recovering from COVID. So he's like, I'm young. I'm healthy. I'm like probably one of the healthiest 22-year-old in the country. And we know it doesn't attack me or
and
hurt me.
And on top
me.
Of that, again, he's had it.
And then on top of that, point three, he's had it.
To prove the first two. He's young and he's healthy and you'll be okay.
And he's had it. Now he's got the antibodies. And we talked about the antibodies last time in terms of how the natural immunity is better than the vaccine.
It's anywhere from 6 to 13 times stronger.
Okay.
So quickly, if we're talking about health, he's healthier than getting the shot. Why are they forcing this shot?
Okay.
You know?
So he gives his reasons, right? Now, again, this is his personal choice. But in him making his personal choice, he gave a very thoughtful reason, which I think if we go line item by line item, which we just broke down, you're not going to be able to refute it scientifically. If you're going to say follow the science, you're not going to be able to refute what he said. Okay. Now, I'm going to let you listen to something that was said by another basketball player. This is a former basketball player. He's probably in his late 60s, early 70s, and he's on CNN.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Okay, so here we go.
Talking about unvaccinated NBA players, and I want you to listen to the difference in tone and tenor of what he's saying.
I think there should be discipline. I don't think that they are... behaving like good teammates or good citizens. This is a war that we're involved in, and masks and vaccines, they are the weapons that we use to fight this war. And when you're not going to be cooperative with that, you're working against the effort to make everybody safe. And, you know, we can't have that. That doesn't work for everybody.
So... I mean, Billy, go ahead.
For me, it sounds like he forgot what he rehearsed to say, because that does not sound like someone who knows what they're talking about off the top of their head.
There's nothing scientific about what he said whatsoever.
No, but, and to me personally, there's nothing he truly feels coming out of his mouth. He is...
A talking head.
Yeah.
Talking points. That's
exactly.
All he is.
Because, first of all, and maybe sound the alarm a little bit here, these are talking points. The war on COVID to scare you. You got to get the mask. These are weapons to fight the war. Getting in your head. Talking points. Certain words to get you to listen more. What he said to Steve's point, there's no science there. We're fighting a war. These are the, the mask is, a tool. He has no idea what you're talking about.
He's a bad citizen. Did you hear
that?
Yeah,
bad citizen, bad teammate. Like, no, he's healthier than anybody there who has the vaccine. He is healthier. He is protecting them.
So hold on. Listen, we can easily start to bash and deconstruct this guy easily. But here's the question. This is what we're trying to bring up. Democrat, Republican, listen to this with an open mind. You heard both sides. You heard both arguments in terms of getting vaccinated. If you're being objective, just hearing what both sides said, which one presented an argument that's sustainable, that was void of emotions. Do you see what I'm saying? And again, we're not against Democrats. We are not against them. All we're asking Democrats to do is recognize what's happening before you. We as a country are being sold lies, and they're doing it in such a way that we may not even recognize that it's happening. Now, I am just, I so happen to be, and so Billy as well, we're sensitive to this vaccine issue, right? And there might be other issues out there, and which the next point I'm going to bring up is going to point to it, where we might not be as sensitive to, and so therefore, we can buy the lie for a long period of time and not even realize that the lie is happening. But in this situation, you have a young guy who stated his position very clear, very cogently. It's irrefutable, everything that he said, and yet the way the other side of the argument responds is not with facts.
It's essentially
it's not with science. It's with name calling and emotions. And this is actually the battle right now. And the question is, are we as the citizens of the United States going to recognize that that's what's happening and stop it? Because we have to stop it. Even when you engage in the conversation with people. So let's just assume right now there are Democrats listening to me right now who, or even Republicans, regardless, who were before this segment were, you need to get vaccinated. You know, you need to do your good job. You need to do your deed as a good citizen, right? But now, after listening to us for a couple of weeks, you're starting to turn a little bit. And it's like, okay, I'm starting to see the big picture. I'm starting to see, like, this is not normal what's happening right now. They are pushing the envelope a little too far. And listening to this recording even emphasizes that even further.
Yeah, take your thought where you have to be vaccinated to be healthy. Okay, we'll give you that argument. But now someone who has had COVID and now has the antibodies, they're now healthy. Can you make that distinction?
Right.
If your argument is vaccine will keep you safe, antibodies will keep you safe, natural antibodies are here, can you recognize that and then say, okay, fine, I'll give that to you, and then go after the unvaccinated then. If you feel like you still have to say something, we'll say you have a leg to stand on, even though science shows you can stand on that leg for only so 6 to 8 months, right, and then you start falling over.
Right.
Just pay attention to that, please. Antibodies are good. The vaccine can help. Separate the two.
So if we have you thinking differently now or starting to think differently, what we're asking you to do is start to engage in conversations with others and talk about these points. Just talk about them and without the emotion. And if you're emotional about it, ask yourself why you're emotional about it. Now, look,
that's a very good point.
Right. You might be a person who's suffering from comorbidity, you know, overweight issues or those other things, right? High cholesterol, high blood pressure. Yeah, you might be suffering and you don't want to die. I get that. Get the vaccine.
Yeah, get it.
Get it. We're not telling you not to get the vaccine. But don't get mad at John Smith, who doesn't want to get the vaccine, because John Smith is no more dangerous to you as an unvaccinated person than as a vaccinated person.
And on another note, in another show we'll probably go over, the vaccinated person, per science, if you read the right articles, is more dangerous than the unvaccinated person.
Let's not go there. Because there are
on a side note, right, go research that. We're not going to get into it now, but there is more upcoming information,
yes,
that the vaccinated, because of how this vaccine was made,
right,
how it works, doesn't do anything but really amp up COVID. So
but hold on, because we could definitely go down that path, but not today.
Yeah, not today, but just go research, right, on your own and come back to us later.
But just hear me again. That last point I made, person A who's not vaccinated is no more dangerous to you than person B who is vaccinated.
Yes.
So if you want to make sure that you're protecting yourself, go get vaccinated. But don't be upset at the person who doesn't want to get vaccinated. And if you find yourself being upset at the person who doesn't want to get vaccinated, you need to ask yourself, why? What does the science say to make you so emotional about it that we need to force everyone to get this? And if you're going to be honest, intellectually honest with yourself, and you shut off everything, including the sound of my voice, if you're going to be honest, you're going to realize that you're being led this direction. You are being led in the direction of thinking this way. And that might sound like I'm talking down to you. And that is not the case. Because I'm telling you, I've been led astray. And as you'll note when I bring up the next topic, I've been led astray when it comes to issues. And I'm just asking you, be intellectually honest with yourself and ask, why am I so emotional about this? Why can't I understand the other side of this? And then I'll leave this. If you do get to that place where you become open-minded about this and you recognize, hold on a second, I did the Billy thing. I took emotions out of it. I looked at the facts, and I'm realizing the facts are weighing heavier on the side of free choice than it is on forcing everybody to do this. If and when you get to that place, and I hope you do, now look at the outcome of what the government is doing by forcing everyone to get vaccinated. Look at the ramifications, the long-term ramifications for the freedoms of our country because they're doing this. And I hope we've presented this in a way that is opening your mind and actually causing you to think and become introspective of the decisions that you make, the people that we elect, and how much trust we've given them and how much power we've given them, and recognizing that we need to take it back.
And going quickly with your intellectually honest idea, at this point, if you continue to call this a vaccine, it's almost like you're being willfully ignorant, okay? They call it a flu shot because they know you need it every year because they know it doesn't do anything as far as a vaccine goes. This is a very similar thing. It's a shot. It is not a vaccine. We've cited it multiple times here. I said it last episode. You have about 90% effectiveness when you first get it. After 6 to 8 months, it drops down to about 70. I put something online yesterday that after 6 months of the second dose, it's down to near 40%, okay? So after a full year, 6 months after the second dose, or maybe it's a full year, I'm not sure. I'm sorry, guys. I'm reading off something else here. I got sidetracked. But after your second dose, down to about 40%, okay? Just real quick, a simple Google search, you can peer review it as well, is a chickenpox vaccine for life. Most people who are vaccinated with two doses of the varicella vaccine will be protected for life. Guess what it says in big bold print. Does the polio vaccine last for life? The polio vaccine provides lifelong immunity and is the only means of polio prevention. Okay, so that's again, lifelong. Does the Hep B vaccine wear off? The Hep B vaccine provides immunity for at least 10 years and likely for a lifetime when completing the full series.
Which vaccine is this?
Hepatitis B.
Okay.
So here's just three that are lifelong or 10 years or longer. This with the two shots, with the booster, you only have like, again, a year. Eight months best. After that, it falls off the 40%.
Right.
Every year you may need to get it again to help you through like the flu shot. So if you keep calling this a vaccine and keep planting your flag that this is a vaccine, you're being willfully ignorant because this is not that. Correct. Okay?
Correct. That's very good, Billy. Very good clarification. Okay.
And again, real quick to tie this up with what the ramifications, the government is dividing us over something that lasts about a year and a half. And they are making lifelong decisions for people for something that on the grand scheme is a blip on the radar.
So I'm going to bring up the second topic to prove to you guys or to further this discussion in terms of what we're being fed, right? And how we need to take back control of the information that we're receiving. So, Billy, we had an episode several episodes ago where I brought this up. And so I'm going to ask you this question, and I'm going to ask you to do your best not to
answer like I would answer.
Answer like you would answer because you know what I'm about to say.
Oh, okay. Because I probably don't, but okay, I'm with you.
Okay, because your original answers back then were honest because at the time you only knew what you knew.
Yeah.
Okay. So
do you happen to have those answers?
Off the top of my head?
Yeah, to see if I changed my opinion based on information.
No, I know you did because by the time we ended the segment, the last time when we recorded this, you were like, wow, I didn't know that.
Okay.
So I'm going to ask you to act like you don't know it now. That's going to be hard, but just I'm putting it out there because I had a conversation the other day. So I'll set it up this way. I had a conversation the other day with a friend of mine and the question that I asked him was, hey, how do you feel about us pulling away from Afghanistan? That was the question. Now, the question wasn't how do you feel about how we pulled away from Afghanistan, because I think that we can universally agree it wasn't good, right? Doesn't matter. If Trump was in office and it went down this way, we would have to agree this wasn't good.
Yes.
Okay? So, but So let me ask you that question real quick. How do you feel about us leaving Afghanistan?
I was okay with it.
You're okay with it. Yeah. Okay, cool. So Billy was okay with it. I was okay with it as well. Okay. And I was okay with it for years. Okay. And if you guys remember correctly, Obama was probably the first one who wanted to get us out of Afghanistan. So you had Obama, you had Trump, and then you had Biden. Okay. And here you have two conservatives who are speaking to you saying we were okay with it.
Yes.
I asked my buddy a couple of days ago, how did he feel about it? He was not okay with it. And I said, okay. Now, mind you, I want to say this real quick. I'm going to give you some information right now that might change all our opinions. And when I asked my buddy this question, I already knew this information, but I just wanted to see where he was. He was not okay with it. And I asked him, defend yourself. Defend your position. Tell me why you're not okay with it. And his general answer was, you know, goodwill, right? We went in there. We said we're going to do something. We didn't accomplish the task. You know, we left a lot of people stranded in terms of, you know, this new government that's going to come in is going to wreck everything that we try to set up. So it's egg on our face, and people are going to get hurt because of it. So he gave me these types of arguments, right? Okay. And, you know, yeah. I can develop it a little bit more, but you know where I'm going with this, right? And I said to him, all that you said to me, I said, you did well defending your point, but it may not have swayed me from saying that I want to get out of Afghanistan, right? 20-year war, we need to get out, right? But I want to give you this information. So now I'm going to add this to the conversation. 34,805. Do you know what that is?
No.
That's how many troops we have in Germany. And we've had them in Germany. Now, this is a lower number because we've had upwards of almost 500,000 in Germany. Okay, so all the numbers I'm going to give you right now are low based on our current standing. And they've been much higher over the years. Anyway, 34,800 plus. Germany, we've been there for 75 years. 23,468. That's South Korea. We've been there for 70 years. 39,345. That's Japan. We've been there for 64 years. UK. This is UK, United Kingdom, Britain, right? The English. 8,479. We've been there for 69 years. Kuwait. 6,200, almost 6,300 people. And I couldn't, by the time we were going to do this recording, I couldn't ascertain how long we've been there. But I would assume since Desert Storm.
Yeah, you know, I would make the same assumption.
Okay. So that was like in the early 90s. So yeah. We're probably talking 30 years maybe. Or 30 years. Okay. Here's another number for you. 200,000. America has nearly 200,000 troops deployed overseas. And the last number I'm going to give you is 9,000. At the time when Biden took office, there were 9,000 troops in Afghanistan. 9,000. And the only reason why I gave you the UK number and the Kuwait number, four scenarios where we have tens of thousands in one location and we've been there for decades. And I only brought up UK and Kuwait because their numbers are more equivalent to what we had in Afghanistan.
Okay.
Okay? And so here's the point. We don't call our troops in Germany a war. We don't call our troops in South Korea a war. And yet they were there definitely because of a war. Japan, same thing. UK, same thing. In fact, Kuwait, same thing. We don't call it a war. What started off as a war, what started off as an offensive, ended up being a defensive, or should I say a deterrent. That's the only reason why we have these troops there are for deterrent purposes.
Okay.
In Afghanistan, and this is the last thing, and then I'll open it up to you. In Afghanistan, we hadn't lost a single person to enemy combat in over 18 months. And 50% of that time, or close to it, was during Biden's tenure. So what kind of war do you have that you engage in for a year and a half and no one dies? I would say, I'll answer the question. It's not a war. So I have some thoughts on this, but before I share them, I want to hear what you got to say.
You can share your thoughts.
Okay. My overall point behind this is, and my friend had said this when I brought this up to him, it's like, wow, I never knew that. And I said to him, you know what? I didn't know it either.
Yeah, I said the same thing to him. He told me this a couple months back. A
couple of weeks. Well, this was during maybe a month ago. I told you this.
Yeah. I have no concept of the time. Everything is always a couple months back. Right. It could easily be 2 years.
So the point is, why didn't we know this? Why? Like, look, I'm not telling you that these troops that we have in the UK and Germany and all these places that they should be there. That's not the argument here. The point I'm making is, if it's okay to have it in these locations, why isn't it okay to have it in Afghanistan? What makes Afghanistan so unique that we should say, let's pull out? Because I can tell you the counter argument.
I think we know the answer because we've discussed this.
Well, I'll give you a chance to respond to that. But because the proponents of being in Afghanistan say to you, the same reasons why we're in all these other countries to be a deterrent is the same reasons why we should be in Afghanistan, to be a deterrent. And when you think about what's going on in the Middle East, specifically, let's just say Israel, let's just point to Israel, one of the only friends that we have in that neck of the woods, who is surrounded by their enemies, a country the size of Rhode Island, who's surrounded by mega enemies, and by Americans being in Afghanistan, we actually act as a protector for Israel, just like we're a protector for Germany against Russia, just like we're protected for South Korea against North Korea, just like we're protected of Japan against China. By being in Afghanistan, we are a protector of Israel. Please tell me, why shouldn't we be in Afghanistan? Hard to make an argument, right? Yeah. Hard to make an argument about not being in Afghanistan. And this is the point. Both the left and the right did not do enough to inform the population of what our true options were. They didn't. The left, for sure, I bought right into it. For years, I bought right into it. Like, yes, why are we continuing this war? And there was a point where I was upset at Bush for even going to Afghanistan. Like, why did you bring this upon us? But look how short-sighted I was. And I I'm a guy who follows the news. You know, like Billy would tell you, like, I read everything. And look, I got duped. I, Mr. Conservative, got duped. Donald Trump, as many things, and you know I'm a fan of Trump in the overall, I'm a fan of Trump. He got this wrong. I firmly believe that he was wrong. And in fact, I believe that the only reason that if it was up to him, we would have been out of Afghanistan. And I think the generals were trying to make this point to him in terms of, you're being short-sighted. Don't leave Afghanistan. But now that I have this information, if the generals would have presented this information to me, I would have been like, you're right. We can't get out. I don't care about popular opinion. If anything, I need to start telling the populace, hey, this is, I start making the argument of why we need to stay in Afghanistan.
Yeah.
Let me start informing everybody. So now when they hear this, let's see if it has that aha moment. And like, you know what? You're right. But our politicians are lying to us. At the very least, they're hiding the real truth from us. And now, in hindsight, looking back at it, we've left Afghanistan in a devastating position. We left the Middle East in a very precarious and vulnerable position. And I will submit to you right now, we as Americans, thousands of miles away, are less safe now than we were before we exited Afghanistan.
Yeah, I would agree with you with that.
So, again, this whole segment, the whole reason why I'm talking about this is because I'm asking, as United States citizens, as Americans, stop with the tribalism. Stop with I hate Republicans or I hate Democrats. Stop with it. That's exactly where they want us. But we are wiser. Like right now, because of social media, because of these podcasts, and because of information, the fact that we have the ability to obtain information on our own, we need to start doing our due diligence. We need to put our emotions, take it and put it on the side, put it on the bench, and do our own research before we're ready to get up in someone's face and say, you're wrong. That's the whole purpose behind all this. The vaccine conversation, it's like, if you did your own, there's no way, I believe, that you can walk away thinking that forcing someone to take it is okay. And if you did your own research, like all the numbers that I just said to you about our troops, if you did your own research and you found out this information, there's no way you can walk away and say, you know what? We need to get out of Afghanistan. That was the right decision. But even if you did walk away thinking that, I wouldn't be mad at you. I wouldn't hate you. I wouldn't throw stones at you. And all I'm asking is that don't hate me or throw stones at me because I disagree, whether it's Afghanistan or whether it's the vaccine.
Yeah, do unto others. If you would be upset if someone was giving you flack for something you did or didn't do, why would you want to do it to somebody else?
Correct.
You know, I live my life that way. Do unto others, which is why we'll get another day. When it comes to this kind of stuff, I can assure you with what Steve's saying, and I'll take my own homework assignment as well, do your research. Look this stuff up. We have people in Japan to keep an eye on China. We have people in South Korea to keep an eye on North Korea. Those are important places to be. In Germany to keep an eye on Russia. Okay, so I think the problem in the Middle East is Afghanistan. We didn't have people anywhere else but actually in there, keeping them at bay, and we took them out. Why would we do that? If it's a peaceful mission, if it's a preventative measure, why remove them? It doesn't make any sense. So look it up. Like I said, Steve found this research the other day. I know we had this conversation. If you look back in the previous episode, I'm not sure what it was titled. It aired,
okay.
But it was... You kept saying our politicians, our generals, our government want to be in perpetual war.
Correct.
Here you are saying we have to listen to the generals. That last podcast, you kept saying we want to be in perpetual war. I don't want to listen to those guys. All they want to do is fight, fight, fight. They don't know anything. Not know anything, but you know what I mean.
Right. So
and information presented, you did your research, as what we're asking you to do with all things, Corona, Afghanistan, life, whatever. Do your research, form your own opinion. Steve had an opinion. He did research. He picked up his flag and moved it somewhere else.
Excellent.
That's what we're asking you guys to do. And if he stayed in that same spot, he made an educated decision to do so.
Correct.
So that's what we're asking you guys to do.
Excellent. I couldn't have said it better myself. That was excellent, Billy.
Well, then I'll say this.
Go ahead. Oh, my goodness.
The long-awaited return of the BS box.
It's been so long, man. What
I know,
happened?
Man.
The BS box.
We've been going for a while on a lot of stuff. I figured let's lighten it up a little bit.
So we're going to have to re-educate the audience on what the BS box is.
The BS box is a little box that I have with various social topics in it. It also has would you rathers. It also has, I mean, anything is in there. Depending on what we remove from here is what we talk about. Could be 5 minutes, could be 20 minutes. We've talked about...
Hold on. You got to give them the definition of the BS box.
The BS box is for Billy and Steve.
Are you sure?
For you and people who may follow you, right. It's for Billy and Steve. For me and the people who may be like-minded, it could be whatever you want it to be. But for show purposes, it is the Billy and Steve box.
Good job.
We've gone over sexism, prisoner rights, and women rights so far that's come out of this box. We did one last time. I didn't write it down. I'm not sure where it is, but forget about it.
Oh, listen to that. Nice sound effect.
Rummaging around in here. Let me look away so I'm not looking in. Close the box. I've got one in my hand. Shake it loose. Well, we already covered this today.
What's that?
Veterans issues.
Well we covered one part of it, right?
Yeah.
Specifically. But I can opine for a little bit on this.
Well, don't go too long because I don't have much to say other than I think we need to help out our veterans, give them give them the housing, give them the money that we're giving to all the illegal aliens we're shipping into this country.
I shouldn't have laughed because that's a very serious statement you made.
It is because these people are the reason why these people want to come into our country.
Right.
The veterans are the reason why the rest of the world wants to get here because they keep us free. They keep us safe. So we need to take care of them, not these other people.
Okay, so, you know, I could plant my flag right now on veterans, but you just said something that I think might be a little bit more interesting.
What's that?
It deals with money in our country.
Yeah.
And how we spend money. and how we allocate money. So before I do that, because I might have veterans listening, I totally agree with what Billy just said.
Well, let's keep going a little more with the veterans then.
Okay.
So we're going to go off that what we said. Give them the aid, give them the money, give them the housing. There are a lot of them that are homeless. There are a lot of them that have PTSD. Give them the free psychiatric care.
Take
give them
care
the,
of
yeah.
them. The whole reason, the only
the whole reason these elitists are in there screwing everybody over is because these people keep them safe over here to do their nastiness up there.
Okay, so that's one way of looking at it. But a more positive spin on it is the only reason that we're able to do this podcast. The only reason that you're able to go to
the grocery
store.
The only reason you're
able
to do anything is because of the veterans.
All. Exactly.
Anything.
Anything at all. The only reason that we're not living like people in China or Afghanistan is because of these veterans.
And the reason they're trying to get over here is because of the veterans. So
we
keep that in mind. They come back. They have a very particular skill that doesn't really translate into everyday life.
Right.
Give them free tuition. Okay.
Right.
Give them an opportunity in school.
Yes.
Give them something.
Right.
Instead, and predominantly thinking is military is a conservative mindset and the free giving away to the illegal aliens coming over here will get them to a democratic mindset. And that's why it's there. It should not have anything to do with being political. These people sacrifice their lives to keep us here safe and healthy and happy. They should get not anything they want, but they need to be taken care
of. Listen, I
want
to touch on that for a second because I'll ask this question. You and I are in the same mindset in terms of there's no free lunch here, right? We don't,
yes.
In general, a broad statement, we don't believe in free lunch, right? People have to earn what they get, right?
Yes.
And the social welfare system, neither one of us are down with that, correct? In
Ish.
General.
In
yeah.
Yeah.
In general. Okay. I'm making broad statements, but I want to show you the contrast here. However, even with us agreeing on that, we say the veterans have paid their dues.
Like literally have done more than what we could think about doing.
Exactly. So if there's anybody that we're going to give something to for quote unquote nothing, it's going to be the veterans.
And do think about that, guys. It isn't nothing. It is more than any of us are willing to do. Willing to do.
Yes.
Okay.
Are you willing to pick up arms?
Yeah. This
and
isn't the 70s anymore where there's a draft and you just have to go. These people choose to go over there to keep us safe over here. So, you know, we opportunity for all and all this stuff. Give it to the people that matter most. These people give us the opportunity to protest, even though some of us agree and don't agree. They give us the opportunity to make money, to be capitalist or not. Even they give us the opportunity to present a socialist outlook, even though we agree and don't agree. Because in America, we have the freedom to explore options. Without these people, we would be like China, we would be like these communist countries. Without these people, we'd have nothing. I saw a quick interview with this girl on Joe Rogan, Park, I believe, or Pack or something from South Korea or from North Korea. They don't even allow their people food. If you go hunting and you catch a boar in the wilderness, the government will take it from you because they don't want you getting strength to potentially gather people, to potentially form something to go against them. So they don't even let you eat over there. Okay, she talks about scrounging bugs to have just enough to sustain themselves, but not enough for strength. So that's how they look at their people over there. They don't even want them to eat because they pose a threat to their hierarchy. That's insanity. So over here, be grateful what you have because of these veterans. Show a little respect from time to time.
Yes, I agree 100%. I don't think there's much more to offer to this conversation.
We're done.
Right. I mean, that's great. But so now I want to segue because you brought up something probably inadvertently that deals with money.
Yeah.
And I think that it ties into our overall conversation theme for today, which is, look, Democrat, Republican, put that on the shelf for a second. We're Americans, and let's talk for a second. Let's talk about your own household, okay? You make money. Money comes in. You have bills. You know, those kind of things that you can't do without, right?
Yeah.
And then you got your food, right? And then, of course, you have like the things that you want but don't necessarily need. You know how you run your household. And listen, for some of you people, you might run your household in a way that you're like, man, this kind of sucks. I'm knee deep in debt. You know, I can't even breathe. You know, and you're not happy about your state in life, your lot in life, based on your finances, right? And how they're going. Or you might be the other end of it. Like, yes, I got stocks, I got bonds, everything's going well, you know, I'm getting paid well, whatever. The bottom line is you have an idea of what it takes to not be in the red, to be afloat, to not be homeless and in the street, to keep a roof over your head and food coming in for your family. You have an idea. And I'm telling you, the way you run your household or what it takes to run your household is a microcosm of what it takes to run this country. Just like you have to balance your book, you got to make sure there's no negatives, that at the very least, you got all zeros. It can't be negative, right? Just like you know that to be the case in your own household. And hopefully you have black, you know, you have money that's going into savings. Hopefully you're living that kind of lifestyle. But you know that even if you're not living that kind of lifestyle, that's the lifestyle that you want to live. And you know what it's like when you put things on credit card, it doesn't go away. It's going to come back calling. You know, you might have to pay a little bit of that off, a little bit of it off. And 5 years later, I'm still paying a little bit of it off. And it's like, I want this to come to an end. It's no different than our country. So why is it that our country gets a free pass in how we spend our money? Why is it that we can continuously, for decades, doesn't matter if it's a Republican in office, doesn't matter if it's a Democrat in office, why is it since the 1990s that we continuously run in the negative? And there's no great push to say, stop it. And anybody who says stop it, like we have to change this, we have to change this behavior, they are instantly castigated. I'm no fan of, Romney. I'm no fan of Romney. But Romney came out and said, hey, we have to do something different with our Social Security system, our Medicaid system. These things where X, where money goes to, we'll call it X. He says we have to reformat this. And that includes Social Security, that includes Medicaid and Medicare and some other things. Because he says it's not sustainable. I remember he was the first person that I remember really championing, like ran his platform and was actually on the ticket saying, we have to change this. And you know what they did? The media, they showed, there was commercials out there showing grandmas in wheelchairs being like pushed over a cliff. And they were saying, this is what Romney wants to do to our senior citizens. This is what happens when someone speaks the truth and says, hey, something's got to change. In fact, I take that back. I think the first person who brought it up that I can remember was Ross Perot. This probably is before your time. You probably still in middle school at the time. But Ross Perot, I believe, brought this up and said, hey, we need to start changing some things.
Yeah.
But.
Well, let me say this. Going off specifically what you said about running the ad and wheelchairing old people off a cliff, that's an indictment on you, people. They're saying you don't have the brain power to go research and pay attention. You're simply going to look at the pop-up book. They're simply gonna, you're going to see them push an old lady off the cliff. Oh, my God, that's what he wants to do. They're telling you that you are not smart enough to see through their nonsense. So keeping them, when you see ads like that, they're trusting the fact that you're not smart enough to make your own decision.
They're incendiary ads that appeal to our emotions. And all episode long, we're saying we need to learn to put our emotions down. And listen, I am not a fan of Romney whatsoever, but we need to put our emotions down and say, hold on a second. Is there really a problem? But is it, or is it all about, and listen, it could be like, yeah, there's a problem, but I don't care. It's all about me as long as I get my Whopper. And I believe that there's a large swath of our population, maybe a large swath of who's listening to us right now. I don't know that's how we operate. It's all about us. It's no longer about we the people. So think about this for a second. What Democratic president said these following words? Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. Who said that? That was John F. Kennedy. John F. Kennedy said these words. He was basically saying in the big picture, it's not about you. It's about us. I guarantee you a Democrat right now who said these words, who tried to say these words right now, running for office, would not make it out of the primary.
No, because he's telling the people the country's job isn't to take care of you. It's you do, we follow.
Right.
Like, that's what he's saying. The government stays away. We're here to help only when needed.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And now they want total control.
Look how far the Democratic Party has come. And again, we love you Democrats. We're not trying to alienate
the
Democrats.
No, it's the party.
But think about how far the party has come, where probably the most popular, probably even successful Democratic president in our generation, in the last 50, 60 years, right? He couldn't even run for office as a Democrat today. We're saying to you, we need Democrats. We need Republicans. We need both. And if you've gotten to a place in your life where you're saying, no, we don't need him, you know, then you know that you're in a bad place. I don't care if you're Republican or Democrat. If you've gotten to a place where we don't need the other side, check yourself, because we're in a bad place. Because even when this country was founded, we had both sides. We had both ideologies. We're saying it's time to come together. It's time to put our emotions down. It's time, like the whole way we started this segment was talking about finances. And if you can understand what it takes to keep your family afloat, and you know that even if you're doing it wrong, you know that the right way of doing it is to make sure that you have more money at the end of the month, and definitely not to go over what you have into the negative. If you can see that, then can we come together as a country, as people, as Americans, and say to our government, enough is enough.
And for those of you who think it's not a big deal because we print the money, it doesn't work that way.
It doesn't. And that's
it does not work that way.
That's a conversation for another day. We can get into economics. Maybe we can even have an economist come and join us. But all I can tell you is that it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way in your life.
No, it doesn't.
If it doesn't work that way in your life, trust me when I tell you that it doesn't work that way in the big government, that we are digging ourselves a hole that's going to be impossible to come out of. I have hope that the American people, the American spirit, that we are living in a time, in a season where the American spirit is going to be revitalized. And we're going to recognize that, you know what, we've been turning a blind eye to all these wrongs that are being fed to us by the media, by corporations, by politicians, and it's time to take it back. It's time to take it back. Anybody who speaks in terms of ideologues and emotions and trying to pit one group against the other, stay away from those people. I'm no longer going to accept that. If you want a Democrat in office, you need to get a Democrat that is upright. Not the sleaze bags that we see. If you want a Republican in office, then you need to demand through the primary process that we have a quality Republican that's not a sleaze bag like we see.
Yeah, the politician, regardless of their party, needs to be a stand up person, because that person who to lead our nation or our state or our city is mixed of everybody, all of us.
Right.
So it doesn't need to be party specific. It needs to be someone who has integrity, because they will be leading a mixture of people.
Right.
So keep that in mind.
Right. We are all Americans, Democrats and Republicans. And one of the issues with Trump is that because he fought so hard against the opposition, it came across as if he's against Democrats, whether he realized it or not. And I think, honestly, to his core, he's probably just slightly left of center, I believe, to his core.
Yeah.
Right? But it doesn't come across that way because, A, the media paints such a inaccurate picture of him, but also because of how he fought. And he just came across as being divisive and not being for the Democrat. So I just brought that up because of what you said, Billy, in terms of our politicians need to see us all as Americans, regardless of what side of the aisle you're on.
I agree. I don't agree with what you said, but I agree with you.
Okay. So, man, I think it was a good episode. I never got to talk to you about my concert and what happened with that. And hopefully,
well, let me
next
clarify real quick about the reason Trump, my opinion, why he was the way he was because they were always attacking him.
This is true.
So he always had to be on the defensive. And unbeknownst to you, you bought into it that he doesn't like Democrats. Now maybe you're realizing
now. No. I don't think I know. So that we don't have this segment next time.
But you just said, like, I didn't like the way he fought because he came across not liking Democrats. He only did it because, one, he had to, and two, he didn't. They painted him that way, and you see it. You see him fighting against Democrats
right.
when they made you see it.
He did not come across as not liking Democrats to me.
Okay.
Because, again, I believe he's slightly left of center.
But they painted that picture. The way you said it made, like, I don't like the way he fought, which means you think he was fighting against Democrats. Mm-mm. When he wasn't. He was defending himself because they were at him at every turn.
I did not like the fact that he wasn't able to present himself.
Yes.
Regardless.
Okay, I got you.
Okay, regardless if it's...
I'm glad
you brought this up so we can clarify that. There's no doubt that he was fighting with one arm behind his back.
Yeah.
His whole administration.
Okay,
there's
I got
no
you.
Doubt. And what I would have liked to see is somehow, and I don't even have an answer. I don't even know how he was going to be able to do this, but somehow be able to fight in such a way that the Democrats can still see that he's for them. And I know he was for them. I know he was for the entire country.
Exactly. That's the thing.
I know for a fact.
He kept saying America. He didn't point out a party or a community or all this stuff. He kept saying us.
I know.
And they don't want to hear that.
So if my argument, if my dissent or my critique of Trump is maybe not his sentiment, but how it came across.
Yeah.
And I wish that he it was just a little bit more polished. But if it was more polished, he wouldn't have been Trump. But regardless, I digress. The only point I'm trying to make to you is feeding off of what Billy said in terms of when we elect officials, when we elect politicians, we need to elect politicians who don't speak from a party line
they
perspective.
They represent all of us.
They represent all of us. And they go out of their way to represent all of us. And listen, not in the same way that Biden did. Right? Because Biden, he's saying that stuff. Even Obama, I was never a fan of Obama, never was going to vote for Obama. But the things that he was saying leading up to his first election was so unifying, right?
Yeah, it was.
So I can imagine the world saying, oh my goodness, finally we have this hope, right?
Yeah.
And I say finally, but we've had it before, but regardless. Finally we have this hope, but it took one term, right? Only one term to see that's not the case. He is not pro-America. He's not pro both sides. He's only pro his agenda and his side. It only took one term to see this, and yet he got a second term. And conversely, Trump, I believe everything that he did was for our country.
Yeah.
Almost everything he did was for our country. And if we want to go line item for line item, you'll be hard-pressed to convince me otherwise, and yet... Here's this true patriot who truly cared about his country, and he didn't get a second term. So,
And for those of you who are tuning out right now, line by line, you can look it up, and I'll tell you it's on his website, and you can say it's fixed. You can go try. It's the only place you'll probably find them, an accurate portrayal of what he did. If we present you with the facts of what he did, and you still deny it, you're going to be classified as an unreachable, and we've got no time for you. You're a lost cause.
Right.
If you can open your mind and see what was done, you may not like his tweets. You may not like his personality.
Right.
You got to take emotion out of it. He's a president of our country. Was he doing what was best for the country? And that's the only question you need to ask. If we ask that question and you come back and say, yeah, well, but stop right there. We're not asking you your thoughts, your feelings. We're asking you based off of this, a case in point, peace in the Middle East, the only president in decades that had peace treaties signed.
Yes.
Was nominated for 4 Nobel Peace Nobel Peace Prizes. Half the country had no idea about it.
Right.
And then when you brought them up to some people, well, that doesn't make a difference to me. But every single president I've ever heard run on peace in the Middle East, he did it. Nobody cared. It was never brought up. That's bias. And if we present that to you and you say, yeah, well, but no.
Yeah, well, but what?
Yeah, what?
Yeah, well, but what?
Well, he was, you know, he said something about a woman 35 years ago.
Put your emotions to the side.
That's not what's good for the country.
Right. I mean, you see your gas prices right now? All-time high? Paying over $3 a gallon?
Yeah.
Are you okay with that? And I bring up that specifically because I want to talk. I just want to paint the picture of don't worry about something that has no impact on you. What he said about a woman 35 years ago, or how he treated women 35 years ago, has absolutely no impact on you today.
We've seen elected officials, presidents, and otherwise in the last 20 years do a lot worse.
But I'm not even that. But this is true. But I'm not even gonna. That's not even where I'm going with this.
But I'm going to go there because they hang their hat on that. Look what he did way back when. Pay attention to who you're siding with in the last 20 years who have done things 100 times worse.
I mean, look, if I'm going to feed off of that.
Well, you don't have to. I'm just, you can keep going, but I'm
going to say this.
People plant their flag.
He did. You're talking about what he did before he was president. But yeah, we have presidents who are in office who do things and still get reelected. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you see the divide here? Do you see the discrepancy?
No one is saying any of it is okay.
Right, exactly.
But based on how things are, given the given where you are, your station in life, your president, your elected official, whatever it is, certain things hold different merit. Comparatively, they don't stack up. But the media ran with it, and the people who...
And we bought it.
Yeah, people bought it.
We bought it and refused to put our emotions to the side and just look at it for what it really is. But where I
have emotions about your family and your kids, not when it comes to the benefit of your country.
Where I wanted to go with this is that what he did X amount of years ago has no bearing on your gas prices, right? So the 10, $15 more you spend a week on gas, what he did, how mean he is, how he tweeted, had absolutely nothing to do with that $15 that you lost a week because of your putting gas in your car. But what he did as a president, from a policy standpoint, had everything to do with the extra $15 you had in your pocket at the end of the week because of gas prices. But yet you have a president right now who says all the right things, supposedly, who smiles.
I mean, he doesn't say anything.
I know, but you know, who you like and you think is presidential, which again has absolutely nothing to do with your gas prices, but yet his policies directly impact how much money you have at the end of the week. Just look at the comparison. I mean, I could keep going, but I won't. But I will say this, that I do want to talk about my experience at my concert. We'll bring it up next time. But I thought this was a very good show. I like what we did, what we talked about. And
so, ladies and gentlemen out there, this is the point of this show that we say it all the time, a quick little editorial, I guess it's called.
Yeah, go ahead.
This is the point of this show, to show people you can still vote Democrat, you can still vote Republican, you can still believe in God, you can still not believe in God, you can still do whatever. Are your opinions informed? Are you doing your best to be a good person? Are you doing your best to research, to make the best possible decision on anything you choose to do? And if you know someone who you think isn't or who could use some guidance, don't bark at them. Don't be condescending to them. Say, hey, listen, check out this podcast. We're going to put a couple clips out of certain things here. Or if you have a specific part of the show you like, go back, find the timestamp. Let someone know, hey, listen to this part, and just try to get them to open your eyes. Try to get yourself. Maybe you didn't think of something, and you can open your eyes to something new. That's the point of this. We're all in it together as far as the country. We're all in it together as far as being good human beings. There's nothing wrong with thinking differently. Just try to help the best you can. Help us on a personal note. Share this podcast on your social media page. Share it on a text message. We're on all the platforms for podcast apps. We're doing all of that stuff. Instagram, neighborly_discourse. Twitter, n_discourse. Facebook, Neighborly Discourse with Steve and Billy. Like it, share it, promote it. Help us help you. You know, if you believe in what we're saying, we're trying to get bigger and bigger to get more people to think and open their mind, not change their mind, but open their mind, and then from there make their own informed decision.
Right. We want our country back.
Yes.
We want our country back. Right now, we don't have control of our country. We want it back. And if you want it back too, if you can see that, yeah, you know what, we've lost something, then you can work with us and join us in this fight. Listen, our goal is to be on CNN one day, and hear me. That sounds crazy, right? For my right wing friends,
it is our goal since we're a team,
right?
But it's Steve's goal to be on CNN.
Okay, I want to be on CNN one day, not like a guest speaker or whatever, but our panelist, but actually have a show on CNN. Not because I think CNN is worth anything.
This is news to me. I thought you meant as a guest
host.
Oh,
no.
Like,
no,
you
no.
want to be it on there. You want to be part of the five or whatever they have going on over there?
It might start off as guest, right? You might have to do some.
Gotcha.
But ultimately, I want to be a host. I want us to be a host on CNN. Not because I think they're worth anything, because I think CNN is a major problem with the condition of the population in terms of what they believe, right? But I want to be there because I want to reach that audience and show them that we can have a conversation. We can talk about things, and we don't have to talk about it in such polarizing ways where you are instantly turned off. You hate what I got to say. You want to stab me if you could. No, we can have a conversation. We can love this country and still disagree on certain things. So.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your morning, afternoon, or evening.
Peace.
Talk to you next time.